All right, so today we're going to continue our un-Christmas. The un-Christmas. Those of you who are 7-Up fans, you know the un-Cola. Well, this is the un-Christmas. And last week, Pastor Paula spoke to us about having an uncomplicated Christmas. This Advent week, we are going to be talking about celebrating the unbelievable. Celebrating the unbelievable. I never cease to be amazed when I get into conversations with people who are not particularly religious, who are not Christians, who seem to think that this story of the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus is really hard to believe, while choosing themselves to believe that things like prosperity or government or saccharine-level happiness are going to bring them the satisfaction and security they're looking for in life. To me, that's even crazier. I don't think it's all that hard to believe, but I know that to many people, it seems like aspects of what we're talking about in this Christmas season are unbelievable. But folks, it is only through Christmas, it is only through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that these things that we really hope for, peace, and safety, and hope, and lasting joy, a secure future. Without Christmas, those things don't happen today. So our hope, my hope for you today, is that you or a friend of yours or that loved one that's down the pew from you today, somebody who's watching perhaps online, that our spirits and our hope might once again be refreshed to believe the unbelievable. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That we would know forgiveness. That we would be restored in our relationship to God, but also to one another. It's unbelievable. It's great. It's only possible because of God. And it's possible to have that, not just for a moment, but for an eternity as part of God's forever family. So this is a great blessing. We just need to believe the unbelievable. Believe that Jesus came down from the Father, the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, who has come to redeem the world. Believe that he came for a purpose, not for the righteous, but to seek and save the lost. Believe that he qualified for the mission he came to do, that he lived this sinless life on earth amongst us. Believe that he completed the mission, that he went to the cross, he died for our sins, he was laid in the tomb, he was resurrected on the third day. The Son of God, who is now seated, the Bible says, at the right hand of the Father, having completed his work, having conquered death and sin and the grave, and having sent the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to be the comforter who lives within us, who walks beside us, who gives us strength, who remains with us. Believe it. Believe it. I am aware, however, that this is the Advent season, so let's look at an Advent passage to set the tone for today. This is from Luke chapter 1, picking up in verse 26, a passage many of you have heard so many times. Luke 1:26 and following. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin was pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words," and when I read that, every time I think, you know, when we know God is about to do business with us, it makes us nervous. And I'm pretty sure it should, because his ways are not our ways. And usually when he speaks to us, He tells us, I've got something for you. We need to prepare ourselves. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. What a great passage of scripture for us to start today as we talk about believing the unbelievable. And I want to start with you today by looking at the unbelievable promises of God, the unbelievable promises God makes. Because this is the interesting thing. Even before Jesus is born, before he is physically manifested on earth, he is a part of the unbelievable. You see, God knew he was sending surprising news to this angel. So he sends the angel to Mary. And verse 31, you heard it said, you will conceive, you'll give birth to a son. You're going to call him Jesus. The Son of the Most High, that is God himself, right? You understand that. The Son of the Most High, and his kingdom will never end. Now, I have to tell you, when he said that, that just brings a big wow. Because you understand, this is what every ruler was looking for, right? I mean, the Egyptians, that was their whole thing. How the pharaohs were gods, they were going to live forever, all that kind of thing. Israel's king Herod at the time, right? He hoped to live on as king. If not himself, through his descendants. The Roman rulers, they solved the problem, right? They declared that they were gods. So their kingdom would never end. That's what they hoped for. And yet they kept ending one after the other. And then God sends an angel and says, I'm going to send Jesus, and his kingdom will never end. In. Even before he shows up on this earth, Jesus is declared to have an everlasting kingdom. That is unbelievable. Believe the unbelievable. So unbelievable is this news, in fact, that the somewhat overwhelmed mother-to-be says this. You saw it, right? How will this be? We have a word for Mary from the South, where I'm from. We just say, God bless you. God bless you. You have no idea what's coming. How will this be? Yeah. Wouldn't want to be in your shoes. God bless you. That's kind of the way they do it in the South. It's kind of an apology for God. I don't know. It's kind of a funny thing. In reality, what she says, just like us. God says, I'm going to do this thing. And we say, really? You think you can do that in me? Today, in this place, in this world, we doubt. Practically every time God makes a great promise, every time a great blessing is prophesied in the scriptures, we have the human tendency to respond, whether it's Abraham, whether it's Jacob, where later it's Mary, and today still us. We say, how could this be? How will this be? Unbelief is our typical response. And you might think that that would bring a quick condemnation from the angel or from God. But remember, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Might as well begin here with mom Help her understand, not condemn her for her unbelief, for her moment's hesitation, for her overwhelmedness. So the words of the prophecy, when you read the whole story, and I heard you respond when I read it to you earlier, no word from God will ever fail. That is really the answer that's coming from the angel. He explains to her, but when she says, how will this be? I don't think Mary was really looking for a biology lesson. I mean, she believed in God. She knew God could do amazing things and miracles. I think certainly that's part of what she's asking, but I think she's just kind of overwhelmed. How could this be? And maybe in your heart, you can think back to times where God has spoken to you and you say, yeah, I can say amen to that. There have been times when God said, I want to do this. I'm calling you. I want to save you. I love you. And you say, really? How can that be? How can God love me? And what's weird is sometimes that hits us stronger when we're 20 or 30 years into being a Christian, right? And we really mess up. And God calls us back and loves us back. And we say to ourselves, how can this be? How can God possibly love me like this? I mean, some of you have come to know Jesus fairly recently as your Lord and Savior. Others of you have been walking with Jesus for decades. But here's the question that this scripture kind of brings right to my own face, a question for all of us. Are you growing and maturing in your faith? In your faith in Jesus, in your walk with Him, so that you can look back across your life and say, no word from God has ever failed me, because no word from God can ever fail. That should be comforting to every single one of us. You see, the minute we start to look back across our life like that, we can think back to something painful, something that really hurt, great loss. I mean, we've prayed for people today. People, we think about COVID, 750,000 or more American families know a sense of loss that most of us don't want to think about. One of our former church members who now lives a fair distance from here let us know in their church they got 10 people with COVID this week. Yeah. Freaking out, make you think, oh, it's all done. How can this be? How would this be? How can this possibly be for me? And how is God going to bring me through? Because most of the time, tell the truth, right? Tell the truth, shame the devil. The truth is, most of the time we say stuff like this. If God, don't you love this word? Really. If God really loved me, I wouldn't have to go through this. He would simply deliver me. Well, here's the good news. The good news is He will deliver you, but the bad news comes from the Princess Bride. It says, I don't think that word means what you think it means. Deliver doesn't mean instead of something, it means to bring you through it. Doesn't mean what we wish it meant. It means what it means. So when Mary says, how will this be? I think she was just this single, engaged, but as yet unwed mother in a world that seriously judged and rejected and punished that situation. And I think in a moment, she sensed at least a glimpse of the difficulty and the pain that was ahead for her, even if it was going to be a holy child. And she says, how can this be? And what I love is that the angel gives her an answer that basically is enough. Because she closes by saying, may your word to me be fulfilled. And what word is that? It is the word of the Lord that never fails. And it's enough. And so I want to remind you today that God's word is enough for you. Maybe you've not been feeling that lately. I want you to know that when the word says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy burdened, and lay that includes you. It's enough. when the word instructs, take up your cross and follow me, that invitation includes you. It's enough. When the word honestly warns, in this world, you will have tribulation. You know that includes you. Includes all of us who are his. But he's enough in the middle of that, because he says, when the word says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, that includes you too. And that's enough. And when the word became flesh and he spoke and he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also. That tells you you have a future that is secure. It includes you. It's enough. Believe the unbelievable. The unbelievable promises of God are yours and mine for his people, and no word of God has ever failed. Can I get an amen? I hope you come to know that. His word is enough, because his word never fails. In addition to the unbelievable promises, I want you to see that God sent us an unbelievable person. Because I have come to grasp over the years that one of the really big stumbling blocks for people in coming to faith as a Christian and coming to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, coming to Jesus, one of the big stumbling blocks is they don't know anybody like him. They have never met anybody who loved them so much. They have never known anybody who sacrificed for them so much. Oh, we sometimes will use other illustrations. Well, like your human mother, your human father, the way they care for you, the other people in your family, blah, blah, your church family, blah, blah, blah. But nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. And there's nobody like Jesus who's 100% good. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, only him. Nobody 100% good. Nobody 100% trustworthy except him. Nobody 100% dependable but him. Well, how can I say that? Am I judging? No, folks. Humanity, can we not be honest? Humanity is broken. We are so broken. And hurt people, broken people, what do? They hurt more people. And they create more brokenness in other people's lives. This is one of the inheritances when the Bible talks about the sins of the fathers being passed down for generations, folks, that's not because God is punishing you for somebody else's sin. What it's talking about is the repercussions of those sins are passed down. And that's, can I just tell you something? This is why, as a church, we value intervening in the lives, especially of young people, children and youth and students. It's why we try to invest in them. We often are trying to break a cycle. When Paulo was talking earlier today about the Coats and Gaithersburg Elementary and the work that we have in partnership with CityGate and others, why we help fund International Justice Mission, many of us, and Compassion International, and many of you sponsor kids through them. We do that because we understand before a child's heart, before a child's spirit is irretrievably broken, we want to intervene in the name of Jesus with the power of the Spirit in cooperation with brothers and sisters from around the world to make a difference and break that cycle and let them know about this unbelievable person who loves them so much. And I get it, I really do, that in the face of all the brokenness we see in this world and the people in it, when we know that even the quote-unquote best among us, I mean, that just always breaks your heart, doesn't it? When these people that you have looked up to for decades, then you find out what they've been doing, what they've been up to, it destroys your trust in them, in the organizations. It crushes a reputation. It stains the often good work of the organizations people have founded, of churches that have done good things. But then a pastor does this thing, and it brings shame and destruction, and they disappoint everyone who had followed them. It's just unbelievable what we see, right, in our broken world. How much more does that make it seem unbelievable that someone like Jesus could leave perfection in heaven and live a sinless life on earth while walking as one of us and fulfill his mission as our Redeemer and our Deliverer, our loving Lord, our Savior. So I want you to hear again the words that Kelly read for us earlier in the service from Philippians chapter 2. If you say, I know that passage really well, then just close your eyes and hear it and let it come over you again. It was a praise song in the early church. And here's what it says, that Christ Jesus, who although he was in his very nature, in his essence, God himself, he did not consider equality with God something to be clung to for his own advantage, something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the form, the very nature of a servant. In other words, becoming human, the God-man, right? Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. The eternal Son of God comes to know death, even death on a cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the unbelievable person that Jesus is. You have it from the mouths of eyewitnesses. And a shout out again to the praise team. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write into the book of Philippians, to add in, to put as part, the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to include these words, this song that the same Holy Spirit had evidently previously inspired some unknown, unnamed church musician who just did their job when the body gathered to worship, and they had written this song. It was known as simply, every scholar of the Bible simply refers to this as the Christ hymn. That's the name of it. It is considered the greatest summation in the fewest words of who Jesus was and what he did. And God inspires Paul to include this inspired song into this book that he writes to the Philippians about the unbelievable person of Jesus. Believe the unbelievable. This passage tells us it took more than a man to save us. It took the God-man. Fully human, fully divine Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's what it took. And the scriptures tell us that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have what? Eternal life. That means that whoever acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord will spiritually never hunger, will never thirst, will never walk alone, cannot be plucked from the Savior's hand, the Bible says. Believe in the unbelievable person who loves you more than anyone else ever could or ever has. Jesus, the unbelievable person. And then lastly today, I want you to see the unbelievable provision that God makes for his people. You see, you can't just talk about celebrating the unbelievable with looking at this passage that we're going to look at now. And frankly, it's not a Christmas passage, and it's actually not a passage that gets preached a ton based on my 35 years of experience. And then I've been in church since I was born. And I have not heard this passage preached on a lot, but it is a great story, a New Testament story of the almost unbelievable story of Jesus and what he did in his unbelievable ministry on this earth. Mark 9:14. Listen to the story. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. And as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. And a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought to you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." Now notice what Jesus says. "You unbelieving generation." They found it too unbelievable. "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Now, knowing what we know now, right? Isn't that kind of a silly thing to say? To say to Jesus, "But if you can do anything," well, hey, he can do anything. This is the good news for you. So Jesus says, "If you can," "if you can, everything is possible for one who believes." And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, and help thou my unbelief." Help me overcome my unbelief. I love that King James, right? "I believest, help thou my unbelief." Wow. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." We could insert here, go back and say, "Well, if you can do anything, it's Jesus. He's got this." Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Man, unbelievable. The almost unbelievable provision of God, a Savior who sees us with all of our weaknesses, who sees us with our illnesses, who sees us with our shortcomings, who sees, like he did with his father, our very inability to believe fully as we ought, and still he loves us. Let me change that. Still, look at me. Still, he loves you. Still. Still. Doesn't matter what you bring. Doesn't matter how high your beliefometer is today. Or should I say beliefometer? Depends on where you're from, I guess. Help thou my unbelief. He still loves us in our shortcomings. He still heals us. He still works miracles in our lives, sometimes physically, sometimes financially, sometimes relationally, but always, always, always spiritually. He has a purpose to what he's doing. And like these folks in Mark chapter 9, we live in an unbelieving generation, right? That's what Jesus said to them. You're an unbelieving generation. Anybody shocked that describes us today? I have to tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you here. Most of the time when I look at and when I pray for our younger generation, it is all I can do to keep my heart from breaking. Not because of them, for them. For them. They do and will face challenges to the faith and to their faith in ways that many of us in an older generation have not had to walk. Many of us can barely grasp what some of them face every day in school. It's not easy for them, and what I know is it's not an easy road that lies ahead for any of us in this world if we're going to be faithful Christ followers. Let me start at the core. Sometimes I am quite disappointed in myself, and I wonder, am I up for the task? Sometimes I think about this flock, and I wonder, are you up to the task? Sometimes I look at the church across the world, and let's just be honest, especially across our country in this American world during the past couple of years, and the church's complicity, many churches' complicity in the divisiveness and politicization of everything, and having some type of winner-take-all mentality as if somehow winning something in this world really means anything. And I am concerned, is modern Christianity, is American evangelicalism, are we up to the task ahead? And I am worried, and my heart is burdened. But you know what? I know who is up for it. Jesus. He's up to it. He's up to the task. He is able. The Word of God will never fail. The Bible talks about Jesus, his life on earth. It talks about his pain, talks about his suffering, talks about his sacrifice. It talks about how he was tempted. You remember that, right? Tempted in all ways, like we are tempted, but he did not fall. He did not fail. He cannot fall. He cannot fail. He will not. He has made provision for his people as well. And he said, what? Right here to this guy, right? Nothing is impossible. Everything is possible for the one who believes in him. So, this Christmas, I want to say to you, believe God for the unbelievable. Now, please, I am not talking about going home and just watching a Hallmark Christmas movie and feeling the Hallmark Christmas magic. And because there's a Christmas tree or a manger scene, that somehow that's what God is up to. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what God is up to, and that you believe him for the unbelievable by faith, by trusting him, by obeying him, by walking with him, and saying to him, when you fall short, because we all do, help thou my unbelief. Can I just tell you this? Help me, God, is a legitimate prayer for Christmas. And I can tell you that he is as ready to give you that Christmas gift as anything you might ever have wanted, and whispered in Santa's ear. Help me, Lord. I'm right here. I'm right here. I love you. I've made provision for you. These days, one of my favorite songs, if you're a Spotify listener, I put the title at the bottom of the notes for you, or if you use some other music service or just want to go on YouTube and look it up. But it's a great song. For the past several months, I've been listening to it fairly regularly. CeCe Winans and Lauren Daigle, Believe for It. Just a great, great song. And it's not, don't mistake the title for just name it, claim it, easy Christianity. That's not what it talks about. But it's a great song, and the chorus, and it ties in with so many of the choruses we sang today. Worthy is the name of Jesus. There is a name I love to hear, the name of Jesus. And they sing in that song, there is power in your name. It's not true because they sang it. Why is it true? Because that's the witness of Scripture, that there is power in the name of Jesus. And then the chorus of the song says this, because there's power in your name. Move the immovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. Lord, we believe for it. I absolutely love that. Because you see, brothers and sisters, in Christmas, from the impossible, we see a miracle. From the unbelievable comes the one in whom we are all called to place our belief, our faith, our trust. The eternal stepped into this world. The Word, the Bible says, became flesh and dwelt among us. The unbelievable became believable. It became faithable. Trust and obey because of the reality of Jesus, who came as a baby, died a perfect sacrifice on the cross, but then rose an eternal Savior. Unbelievable. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. And you will have the merriest Christmas ever. Believe the unbelievable.